Next, we will move on to 14.2 elementary water heater replacement bid. The Stedman Elementary water heater replacement has been deferred maintenance project since 2014, and the current water heater was installed in 1981 and has significant pitting. If approved, the work would begin over the winter break this year, 2020, or potentially spring break, 2021, to lessen the impact on student learning. I'll make a motion to approve the replacement. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Cheryl and Director of Maintenance.
That?
Mr. Johnson?
Right. I'm going to come forward, but I don't have to yell. Although I can project that voice out pretty well. So, thank you for giving me some time so we can discuss this. So, Mara, could you go to the CIP page or the RFP page?
Bottom one?
Is it this bottom?
Right there.
There. Nope, that's a bit again. But,
our original CIP? Our
original from the agenda. I don't know.
My, the RFP that I put on the. Oh, okay, sorry. So, basically, during Dan and I's transitional time, he brought this to my attention. It was identified 3 or 4 years ago, the interior coating on the tank had failed, which led to severe pitting, especially on the welds, which are the most critical. The inspection hatch no longer aligns correctly because of the corrosion, so you have to kind of caulk it to get it to seal. So I drafted the request for proposals. I think it was on the web for 22 days, mm-hmm. and we had one bid, and that was from Ketchikan Mechanical. So the current tank, the heater was installed in the 80s. The tank was replaced, it looks like, in 2003. And there's photos of the current tank. So that is the label. So that's the current tank in its current location. And you can see the age. So these are, this is an indirect fired water heater. So it uses hot water from the boiler system, goes through a coiling system inside the water storage tank, and then gets dispersed throughout the school. Capacity is roughly 325 gallons. So could you go to the photo of the blue? So these are not that way. So they're actually stand-up tanks. So these are the tanks that were installed up by the mat room in 2014. These are Amtrol tanks, still indirect fire tanks. They're completely non-metallic, except for the coil is copper tubing. So it would eliminate any electrolysis or corrosion issues in the future. But we need three of them to maintain our 350-gallon capacity. These are only 125 gallons each. So the bid from Ketchikan Mechanical includes removal of the old system, installation of the new system to include three tanks, all piping, all electronic controls. And I spoke with their Tim, I think he's the general foreman or the superintendent, and they would actually prefer to do it in the spring of 21 during spring break, because right now they're in Wrangell on a huge project. And they might not have time to do it. So that's pretty much all that I have. If you guys have any questions.
We need 350-gallon capacity for the elementary, right? So it's supplying the bathrooms, I assume.
So it supplies water to every sink or every classroom in elementary school has a sink. And especially now during COVID, every student is going into the classroom and washing their hands 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day. It also provides hot water to, there's 24 sinks in the four other multi-use bathrooms, plus there's 5 staff restrooms, so we have a total of a lot. It's
and
actually
the
a lot of
in the cafeteria.
And the cafeteria, but the cafeteria does have a booster.
Oh, does it?
So there's a lot of water consumption that goes to that building.
two are in the high school already?
Those two were installed in the high school in 2014.
And does that all, that serves the whole high school?
That does not. So that serves basically the double doors by the Viking Cafe, both upstairs and downstairs. It serves from that build, that door over to basically the raffle ball court. So it does, it supplies warm water to a couple of the restrooms.
Oh, that's interesting. It's tied into the community.
It is. Hmm.
You didn't know that?
Yeah, there's a lot, there's a couple systems that tie in.
I knew that HVAC system did. I just didn't realize the hot
like
water.
Like the fire panel.
Yeah.
That's why there's no water, hot water in the culinary room sometimes.
Oh no, they run out of hot water.
It's all tied together.
Oh, that might be a good reason to have three then.
Yes. So the idea, so they actually contacted the engineers at Amtrol, and that's what Amtrol recommended. Amtrol gave them the system that they recommended for the building size and the sink size and all that stuff. I spoke to the contractor when the bid came in because it came in a little higher than what we had anticipated, and he said that we could shave money by removing one tank, but then we risk not having hot water down at the cafeteria end of the building, and then we would have to go back and add a tank, but instead of paying the $6,000 now, we would pay like $30,000 in 3 years. So it's my opinion to just go do the three tanks up front, and this is also a CIP eligible project, so we could get 65% back
from the state.
From the state, which would be $57,265.
Is there a way to encourage more bids so we can make sure that we're getting a decent price?
Oh.
If we don't get one bid, we might be getting hosed. We might be getting a great deal. We don't know.
Yeah.
We put it out, I think we did Anchorage, Juneau. Done.
My guess would be COVID is probably having a play in that, is that they
don't
want their staff traveling.
Because of the travel part. I mean, and the cost, it doesn't necessarily come out for other places coming in necessarily. And we didn't even have anybody contact us this time.
No one called. So
and want to ask questions, you know, about different projects we've done over the years, but we didn't even have anybody.
Is this too big of a project for a local plumber to do?
More than likely, yes. So, I just lost what I was going to say. We'll come back to
it. So, these are oil fired?
No, these, well, the boiler is oil fired, but these are indirect. So, it uses the hot water from the boiler system and it travels through the tank and heats the water.
And we've done, had Ketchikan Mechanical done work before?
Ketchikan Mechanical has done phenomenal work for us in the past. So, they're the ones who, I'm not sure if they installed all the sprinkler systems, but they maintain them. They did modifications to the sprinkler system, I believe, in the middle school when their inspectors noticed that the heads were too far apart, so they did that work. And they did something 2 years ago.
They were involved with the remodel as well. And
they
know our system, too, in our building, whether that's, you know, again, like they have some knowledge of that, which is helpful to us, but... they certainly have been in all the buildings, in all the spaces, which is.
And they are very helpful whenever I have a problem. They're like on speed dial, so.
How much over budget is this, and what was anticipated?
So we were expecting or hoping for like in the 50K range. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what the other two maybe cost in 2000? Or it's hard to remember that.
It is
6 years ago.
That was 6 years ago.
So we have enough in our capital improvement or capital account.
And
we got a long time out of those other ones.
Oh, that's what I did.
That other one, 81.
Popped back in my head. So the day I got the bids, I told Eric, I was like, oh, well, these bids are up. You know, they're higher than what we expected. So I called Don Hiley, and he is experiencing the same problem in other projects where there's just no one's bidding on jobs.
Oh, okay.
And he thinks it might be linked to COVID, but.
Is this something we can wait on for a year and see if we get a lower bid in a year when COVID's over, hopefully?
Could be.
We could. The one thing that we didn't do or that didn't happen when the tanks were open in the previous years is that we didn't use a pit gauge. So I can't tell you what percentage of the metal is gone. So, and they are at failure. So I don't know if it's going to fail in a month. I couldn't tell if it's going to fail in a year. I couldn't tell if it's going to fail in 2 years. And if it fails, then it becomes emergent, and you know, we don't have hot water in the elementary school, so which means we won't have kids, and then the cost is going to be exponentially higher because of the rush.
Can we use some of the money from the COVID money? Because washing hands is pretty important.
I mean, it's possible. We did talk about that some, that it could be an eligible expense for it, maybe for some of it at least. Just because of, I mean, that is one of the deciding factors that we talked about between the, even the two and the three. Could you do it with two? You know, take. So, I mean, it's possible.
It definitely impacts whether we could wait or not wait. You know,
right.
Like it's not maybe a great idea to push it off because this
right.
has to get done. For that.
Right.
Therefore, we got to take a bid that's higher than we wanted because there's no other choice
yeah.
because of COVID again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
we could certainly do some.
Would it be, sorry, this is Cheryl speaking. Would it be, what about like for the elementary cafeteria or for the high school cafeteria, some like on demand? I mean, because they can't use, or I'm not sure, like their own individual tanks inside the kitchen and the high school cafeteria or even propane. I don't know how would that work.
I don't know. I might actually have a cost increase if we were to start talking about it on demand, because we're talking on demand per sink or per outlet would be.
Well, I'm just thinking in the cafeterias, not in the classroom.
Oh, okay.
I mean, would that help at all in the?
I don't know. Or would it be the equivalent of you're in your home, you've got one hot water tank, but now you want just your bathroom to have, or your bedroom, master bedroom on demand. Well, now you're dealing with plumbing. You're reordering
right.
plumbing
yeah.
to accommodate that in addition to the purchase.
And so
that's
how
it's become almost more complicated.
Aged, so.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And maybe there's something even with the commercial part of that too. I don't know. I'm just thinking
mm-hmm.
about.
Well, because you can get one that fits right underneath your sink.
Yeah.
You can.
So I'm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just.
Good question. I don't know, they never brought that up at all during the remodel project either, so I don't know if it's something to do like that. Is there a cost return
mm-hmm.
issue? I don't know. It's, I mean, it's a good question. I don't think there's specifics around that.
And I think we'd probably be required to get something to be commercially rated.
Right, that's what I'm wondering. If there's something to do with that, you know, just the amount of water and amount of volume during certain times in there, possibly.
Well, if we got, I just did a quick divided by 39 years, 88,000 divided by 39 years equates to $2,256 a year in use if we got 39 years out of it again.
What's the life expectancy of these guys?
Oh, maybe 20 years, maybe.
You know, they don't make things like these.
Right. No, that's the problem.
Oh, you mean the new style? Probably 20 to 25 years since they're non-metallic, so we won't have corrosion to deal with. So.
Thank you for the pictures and stuff. Those were really helpful.
Oh,
see what you're
welcome.
Talking about. Those are very nice.
Cool. Any other questions?
I don't think so.
I think that's genius. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. Except, where am I? Sorry. Motion to be seconded to approve the replacement of the elementary hot water, or excuse me, just water heater replacement, receiving only one bid. Mara, please call. Do we have any further discussion, I guess, amongst ourselves? No? Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Mara, please call the roll.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 5-0. Let's just hope next time we get more bids. Maybe next time we're not all masked up, separated from each other either. Okay, next on the agenda, 14.3, resignation acceptance. The board accepts the resignation of Eric Hoff, effective September 10th, this year, 2020, and Rand McIntosh, effective October 19th, 2020, is accepted by the superintendent on behalf of the board, according to our board policy 4117.2, resignation. 14.4, new hires. There are a few classified new hires. Juan Astorga, am I pronouncing his last name right? Sorry, I hope so, Juan. As full-time daytime custodian, and Christine Flatt as instructional aide in the elementary. So welcome to both of you. 14.5, informational. We're also a classified staff transfer. So Erica Thompson has been transferred from the instructional aide to being the high school secretary. So congratulations, Erica, on your transfer. 14.6, graduation date. So the senior advisors have suggested May 24th, 2020 for graduation ceremony. Memorial Day weekend falls after that last day of school, of the school calendar. So I don't know if Mr. Dormer wants to pipe in or if anybody has any questions or concerns.
Oh, I totally thought you had
a question. So May 24th is a
Monday.
Monday, okay.
Initially, it's been on Tuesday for a long time, which has always been the Tuesday following Memorial Day. And again, keeping it adjacent to a weekend, not having to go to a Tuesday because, again, Memorial Day is outside the school year. Putting it on that Monday, traditionally some families will travel, you know, to town. May not be this year, but we don't want to think that. Maybe it is. And so by putting a date in, that kind of helps some folks, you know, travel, be here for a few days, attend the graduation, they may have to leave, you know, pretty quick if that's their life. But, yeah, senior advisors, we talked about possibly a Saturday, you know, we've never done that. Do we go even earlier or something? The senior advisor said, you know, let's keep it somewhat traditional. And superintendent and I, and we all looked at the calendar and thought, this seems like a very nice date and people seem happy with it. So we wanted to, if the board saw any conflicts or reason this is not a good date or any other ideas.
Putting it in my phone right now.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll be able to be in the gym, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
You know what? The other thing, I'm sorry, just to add to that, I think we did ask Jamie about that too. Of course, now that changes with the announcement of activities, but at one point there was potential that track and baseball
would
have something that weekend. There was another.
Okay.
But
yeah, it was a regional weekend.
That was it.
Yeah.
Well, so I think we can probably revisit it if we
need
to.
If so, I mean, this is the year.
It's a good month.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of conflict.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what we were looking at too. So
it should be on the events calendar on PCSD.us.
Okay. Great. All right. Next, we're going to have a discussion with both. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
We need to vote for the entire.
Oh my goodness! How did I look over? Oh, sorry. I apologize. Thank you. Oh, Sarah. We're going to move back to 14.4 new hires. I apologize. I need to look at this one instead of my agenda. So I'll make a motion to approve the hire of Juan Astorga as a full-time daytime custodian and Christine Flatt as instructional aide in the elementary. Could I have a second?
Seconded.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded by Jay. Mar, please call the roll.
Carol Flatt.
Yes.
Yes.
Carol Green.
Yes.
Did you hear it, Katie?
Oh, there you are. I say yes.
Okay. Motion passes 5-0. I apologize to our new employees.
We do
being over you. That was not intentional. All right, now we'll jump back to 14.7, which is an update on the schedules. And we'll hear from both principals. They'll give us an update on how the schedules are going in their respective buildings, and it'll also give us an opportunity to the board to ask any questions that we may have. So, who would like to go first? Principal Khan?
Overall, we're in the building, you guys. So we're in the building, and we have what we are calling a full day of school. So from 8 to 1:45, Monday through Friday, We are excited that kids are there. We are happy that kids are there. We just have a few little tweaks that we would like to work out, but I don't know if they're all possible to work out. So everybody is giving their best. They are giving 110% and working a lot of extra hours and coming in on the weekend still. I think that's been a routine that we've seen for years, right? So I was given today our fourth and fifth graders that are down at the intermediate end have petitioned for playground equipment. We have balls, we have jump ropes, we have hula hoops, we have we kind of have basketball court, but you'll notice that it's been vandalized and the nets aren't up and the rims aren't there and the hoops are, you know. So our fourth and fifth graders collected 128 signatures within our school from everybody, K-5, to petition that they need something. They need something to play with. So just given a little bit of history, the playground equipment that was out at the intermediate end has been picked up and removed and placed at the primary end. So all of our playground in the last couple of years has been at the primary end. The intermediate end has been more of a, I don't know, what would you call
it? Free range? Designed it like a nature area, more of an open area for playing.
Right.
In that sense. Or
okay.
Classroom activities that could be outside.
Right. And so along with that came these beautiful blue swings. These beautiful blue swings that are not meant to be swings. And they are meant to relax and just kind of slowly go back and forth and maybe read a book on them, maybe just have a nice little conversation on the swings with them. What we are finding is we are probably going to be taking them down. There are poles that go into the ground. These poles that go into the ground, but what is going off of these poles are these, I don't know, like claws that are anchoring the poles to the ground. And so when the swings go back and forth, like a swing goes back and forth, the poles become unsteady and the claws unclasp, and now you have a very dangerous piece of equipment that's going to fall. We have tried everything that we can. We have put chains on the swings, we've bolted them, the bolts have come undone. They're every weekend, every Monday that we come back, Ralph and Rance have been fixing these swings for us. And so today was the last time that we are going to fix the swings, and they will probably be removed in a very short manner. We're finding a lot of vandalism on our playgrounds. We had purchased a lot of sand. We put them in the boat for like a sand pit for them to play, a sandbox for them. And the sand has been removed. It's all been out. There's it's the swings. Every swing on the primary end playground is coiled up, and the swings are like cockeyed and uneven. And it's just from kids wrapping the swings around the poles. And so we are having a hard time. We have this beautiful ninja equipment that we would love to put up under the intermediate play area. Two things that come into problem is we are unable to finish the primary end playground right now. The tiles for padding on the concrete to put the tire swing and the merry-go-round have been ordered in June, and we don't know what's going to happen to them. So we can't finish that part of the playground that's on the primary end. On the intermediate end, if we were to put those ninja warrior jungle gym equipment, we would have to have padding under them. We have also the PI committee is really looking into what can we do, how can we make this a little bit more attractive to the fourth and fifth graders. we've, Ed Tagabon and I have been, actually Ed just emailed me, he's been looking at all kinds of backboard solutions. The Healthy Living Grants helped out, the 1801 grant, but it all helps out, but the vandalism does not help out. The constant maintenance of this playground and the constant Monday morning surprises that we get are not helping out. So I guess I just wanted to say that out loud to the public, that please just know where your kids are on the weekend, know what they're doing. This is a public playground, but it is at a cost to us at this time on every Monday morning. So these kids would love swings. They would love basketball hoops. They would love some sort of equipment down at the intermediate end. As they're playing, there's no way that I can get the fourth and fifth graders, middle school uses that end too. There's no way that right now during this time that I can place fourth and fifth graders on the primary end playground, because right now for a K-1-2-3 to be down there, that's 2 hours that they are on that playground. And then four and five try to go down before that 2 hours just to try to get some playground equipment exercise prior to their recess and lunchtime. So that is something that I wanted to bring to your attention. The other, did you want me to stop the questions? Do you guys have questions about that? Yeah.
This is Cheryl. Well, I was just thinking about the vandalism. Have we thought about cameras?
We were looking at the cameras today. Do you want to speak on that a little bit?
So we narrowed down the time when we think the people, they appear to be middle school age people. But the angle of the cameras, we can't identify who they are. We narrowed it down between like 5 and 7:30 on Saturday.
Yeah.
So we do have cameras out there.
We do.
Mm-hmm. Do we need more cameras
or better
do.
Cameras?
I didn't hear that question.
Are better cameras?
We have really good cameras. That was something we just redid, but it's just a wiring and a cost that way. But we can certainly talk to John about that too and see what that would be.
We actually, Jason and I spoke today about
getting
the
good.
Camera on that.
Great.
Because the camera that covers that area is on the back side of Oak Ed.
Right.
And it uses a wide angle lens so it can cover that entire covering area back there. So we can't really zoom in to that small spot.
So do we have signs up that say you are being watched 24/7?
Not out there right now, but they're on the built in different places in the building.
Well,
so.
Maybe we need to put them out there just because
before we get a good camera. It feels like those cameras should be a pretty high priority because the cost of a camera versus fixing stuff and time every week.
So I think really what it links back to is boredom, right? So they have these blue swings that are really meant for park usage, like sit on them and read a book or feed a duck or whatever.
And kids and people do use them, so I do want to say, like, I hate losing them because I actually see a lot of kids that do use them, so it's like, I want to keep those, but I also know there's other needs.
So I've heard middle school kids are just as unhappy as a fourth and fifth grader.
Sure.
For what it's worth.
Yeah. So basically, about the second week of school, the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh grade kids were on these swings and they were trying to do like underdogs like you would do on the other swing set.
So we can fix that during school days, but
evening
stuff beyond cameras.
If they have something else to do that might be able to keep them and then keep them busy.
Right. So we put installed restrictor chains on these swings to keep them from making them go 8 feet off the ground. And what they're doing is on the weekends, they're intentionally breaking these chains. So, the amount of force it takes to break these chains.
Sounds like a good reuse of them would be at Mountain View Manor.
Or my home.
Yeah, that's
what
I thought of.
We
got some other stuff out there that they could have more fun on, and maybe we could keep one. There's two, right?
Can I chime in here? Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
So I'm volunteering for the fourth grade recess, and I'm there Monday through Friday. And so I'm out there with those kids in those blue swings. And I would suggest that giving them your traditional swing would help alleviate those problems on the park swings, because there are kids that really do benefit from those park swings as well. And yeah, they're not being used necessarily the right way right now, but it's because of lack of options. So if they had the traditional swings, which I am looking, putting my pie cap on, I've been tracking down and trying to find grants to help fund that, because it's going to be expensive. But I don't think that the park swings have to go away. Maybe take them down temporarily, but once we have that other option, I think a lot of those behavior issues on that swing, and also kids don't know, there's no signage, there's nothing there. So yeah, it's easy to regulate when there's an adult out there with them, but other people that are using the playground out of school time might not be aware that they are not to be swung like a big regular swing where you're doing underdogs on them. And so I think there's other ways we can find a way to keep those swings, because they are important. They are beneficial for certain kids as well. So I don't want to just take them down and say, oh, we tried this, it's over and done with.
Just for safety reasons for now.
Yeah.
I've seen some of the kids doing that. It didn't even occur to me. Trying to do it, and it was after school.
I wouldn't want
to
do it. I mean, and, yeah.
And I thought, ooh, they're gonna crack their head.
Over. Yeah, we did.
That was what went. Just the metal on the head is what worried me more than it being loose, because I didn't know it could get knocked around.
But. In the meantime, there's some brainstorming or something going on about what equipment in general out there that would be fun. That is something we could do without a lot of money or
I think also, sorry to jump back in, also the fall surface out there is terrible, and I think that deters a lot of kids from moving out from underneath that covered area. We have one group, again, I'm only out there with fourth graders, but we have one group that likes to play football, and it's painful to even watch them because they're falling on these rocks. It's not even all D1, like there's some big rocks in there, and of course the kids don't complain, but I know we could do so much better for them. And it also, the rocks that are out there creates mobility issues for some of our kids as well, and it makes it really difficult for them to engage and interact with their peers in a way that they would like to be interacting.
Sounds like we need to do some work on that end. Is there stuff that can be done quickly and soon versus a little bit longer? Like, I mean, I thought even basketball equipment, and is it then each classroom has their own?
Well, we have all that.
Okay.
We have so many kickballs and basketballs and hula hoops, and we just
frisbee, golf.
Right, we have.
We need to get that out there.
All of those wonderful things.
Yeah. Okay.
We just don't have hoops. They've all been vandalized. We don't have. I mean, the tetherball's great.
So what are the things that they want?
Yeah, task those four.
They want swings. They want regular
they want?
Swings.
Yeah, okay.
They've been planning. They're meeting with Ralph and I tomorrow. And they're going to be the kids that signed this petition or that started it. We'll be meeting with Ralph and I tomorrow. We're going to do a walkthrough of the playground. But they would just like some equipment.
I've heard too in my time out there that they would like some more loose parts. So, and loose parts play is just hugely beneficial to kids. But having shovels so that they can dig at those random piles of gravel that are out there, and different parts that they can build and assemble and dig with, or buckets even. The kids would be super jazzed about that, which leads into the whole vandalizing and stuff as well, because also where do we store all of that where it's not just going to get stolen or trashed?
So, this is Cheryl. I have a suggestion. So, I would like to see you said the fourth and fifth graders made this petition, Heather?
Well, it was signed by all K-5 fifth grade groups.
Okay, so I would like to see them present at our next board meeting what their plan is, what they come up with, and what they want, and how they see we can use it.
I think that's a good idea. Let's hear their solutions.
And maybe get middle school ASB involved too, if they have suggestions when they get themselves coordinated.
We will invite them.
I think
there's some things we could do sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
And then and then some stuff to plan
that we can do for the springtime. Or I mean, things that they might, then they have, because they can look on the internet and find ideas or playground things that people have used elsewhere. I just think that'd be good. Okay.
Maybe it's also important, it'll be good research and good information for them to know that one of the reasons we ended up doing this is because everything now we were told, you know, there were things we had to remove from the playground, all the old equipment we had to take off. And then when you want to put something back on, it's very difficult. So you don't just get to put a swing set up anymore. You have to research. There's a lot of research that goes into what you have to put underneath it and all the kinds of things.
Yeah,
so it's good. I'm saying
not residential.
I'm saying it's a good project for like an ASB group or whatever to research. So
but then
great.
This is there.
Yeah, it'd be great.
And
I love it.
You know,
I think it's awesome. And some
ownership. Benefiting it for the next year.
Love it.
Great.
Well, and it's the short term. More cameras, and maybe we can put up the basketball hoop.
Yeah.
That seems reasonable, doesn't it? I'd love to see that. For me. We do what we can. Nearly as much.
I need Karen to let us know what kind of money, if we have money for that, too.
Right.
And again, it's like rest of great.
but cameras.
Oh yeah, no, not that. I'm talking equipment, like massive equipment and the stuff that goes under it.
$50,000, $70,000.
It's expensive, but no, those things I think are all very doable.
Yeah,
within the budget.
Yeah.
Do they have enough? I haven't heard any complaints this year, but I have heard in years past that it didn't have enough balls like to do their nine square or whatever, but they're good now.
Good now, yeah.
Okay.
We ordered some stuff. We've got some stuff and extra storage. They would also love equipment they used to maybe overuse. Maybe it's inappropriate equipment that was there before. Yeah, loose wing discussion. Those are valid.
Yes.
I think the hoops are all there. Yes, they're easy. I think there's just that one that's fine. But it's like it's
all
gone.
The
backwards gone.
The hooks and everything are gone.
Oh, are they getting intoxicated and hanging up?
No.
That's what being done for.
Yeah.
No, I have a basketball hoop at my house. I just put a new net on that we're not taking to the new house. So. I might make it play over here tomorrow instead of in my yard.
Well, I just also would like to just put your attention towards. We have currently, for our special education in pre-K-5 right now, we have 45 students, which is the most we've ever had at this time of the year. We have 5 students that are referred, but we haven't even had the preschools in session at this time, so we're a bit nervous. Normal caseload for special ed is around 13 to 14 students for that caseload. So you think you're doubling it, you're catching, you're doing the paperwork. We are all hands-on. So it's Bridget, myself, it's Barb, it's Heidi. We are all hands-on throughout the whole elementary school. So we just want to make you aware of that. We are not complaining. We are doing it, but it's hard. And we just wanted to let you guys
know. No, we
know
that's an area that we've talked about as being, and it's an area that's
so
not been able to get staff.
So normally 13 and you have 45?
Am I understanding that correctly? 45 between Barb and Heidi.
And so they should have, they have
20 plus.
20 right. Something each.
Yeah.
So they need one more.
We need a third teacher.
If that person existed,
we wanted that to be in this year's
does our
budget.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, this is the year with the emergency.
But it was in the budget initially.
Yes,
yeah,
even
before
we didn't have,
COVID.
Have.
And even if we, I mean, just to kind of answer that right now, if we were to open that up, the chances of finding somebody are not very good at this time. But we do have student teachers. We
yeah.
have. We just want you to know of our numbers, and they are increasing. And I suspect that once Head Start starts after January, they will be increasing even more. Although their limit for enrollment is 10 students at this time.
Oh,
okay. So I just found that out today.
Okay.
And then we have been advertising for jobs for paras. We've had little to no interest in the para positions that are posted. They've been posted for just a few months, so we just wanted to let you know, and I think both of our buildings are down on those. As far as teaching is from 8 to 1:45, and right now we are able to provide a to-the-minute, 30-minute lunch for our teachers at the elementary school. Trying to shoo kids out the door at that 30-minute mark is a little bit difficult. You don't want to deny them. You don't want to turn them away. But by the time a teacher is getting the lunch, it's about 20 to 25 minutes in length for their lunch, which they are contracted for a 30-minute lunch. We don't have any wiggle room on that. With that, they are tired, but they are doing it. We are all doing it. They're teaching their own PE. They are eating breakfast in their rooms. They're eating lunch in their rooms. They don't have a bathroom break. They have just a 30-minute lunch break. That's what they have. And then we're ending our day at 1:45. That's been okay. It is allowing for planning and grade level collaboration when we're ending at 1:45. So we used to do all of that on Friday, but now we can do it throughout the week for that. And then we save one day a week where it's just in service for us. Any questions?
I have for the breakfast and lunch. Is eating in the classroom K through fifth grade or third through fifth grade?
I can say K through five, but we've made special arrangements for kindergarten to be in the lunchroom.
Okay.
And then it just works out at the end of the day to have a couple fifth grade classes because there's enough of a gap for them to clean some of that. So some of two fifth grade classes get it, but nothing in between there.
And then now teachers are teaching PE.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I'm curious what. So I'm going to compare the schools. So what's how in middle school and high school we have the PE teacher teaching PE. So why aren't we doing it at the grade school?
It's the conversation.
I know it's a mixture thing. You know, it's across. But if any class is probably the teacher the furthest from a student would be PE. You'd still have your kid in the pod.
That's the reason, though. It's just, you know,
is it something that could be changed mid-year, potentially, in January?
Anything's possible.
Or, okay.
Just those were recommendations from our medical group.
I guess I'm just saying, you know, some of it is we get going and started and you realize this is working great and this isn't quite working. Or wait a second, we could do that.
Yep.
And,
Well, yeah, if they stay in their pods.
And I know it was because Dino was going to be stretched across all schools.
It's got more of the it's that connection of the adult being with if there's a case in it, it's that whole thing. It's more of that.
So who are our PE teachers currently? Mr. Brock, Dino Brock.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is that my building or just?
It doesn't matter. I guess because that's the only one that's holding PE other than grade school, is middle school and high school.
With
a designated teacher, yeah.
7th and 8th grade teachers, to get the full 7th and 8th grade in a rotation is Mr. Gates goes, Mr. Brock, and Mr. Brock.
Okay.
6th grade teachers, Mr. Gates and Ms. Short does it separate time with their own class. So
Okay, so they're teaching also PE.
They're teaching at just sixth grade middle school.
Okay.
In the high school, we have Mr. Dino Brock teaches when he's not in the middle school. Every period he's got to.
Okay. Yep. And we have other teachers that are certified to teach PE. We just aren't using them or no?
They're using to help. It's just every teacher's helping offset different.
Something else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, or the pods in the middle school, breaking them into three instead of two, all that.
But it's not all plain and view. I mean, they're present in the building. It's just those are really, it's been hard. It has been, and it's tiresome at some times. But we're not going to complain, and we're going to keep doing it.
I know. I'm concerned about burnout.
Yeah.
And I don't think the community gets what it's really like. I mean, I don't, but I can ask.
Right.
But I don't think they all fully understand the idea of you are at your cubicle with 15 people or 12 people asking you questions constantly that you can't come near, and you're going to be there from 8 until 1:45, and you get a half an hour lunch, maybe, if you're lucky. And that's all, you know, you're stuck there. And then now you're going to go teach PE, and you've never taught PE, ever. You know, so I'm concerned about the teachers' burnout, particularly the ones that are new, that are, this is their first go-around, and it's this. I don't know what can be done, and so that's where I'm beginning to, as I'm hearing feedback, I'm just beginning to, they're just like what you're saying, is they don't want to complain, but I also want to recognize, even if it's just acknowledging it publicly, how hard they're working. Yeah. When, if I hear one more time, well, they have half the students, like, you don't understand what's going on in their classroom.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. And we can't have volunteers come in and see really how much they're doing. So
I think it's important to note too. Hopefully you guys can hear me. That even though not all of our teachers are certified for PE, that it is standard part of your education training. So when you go through your college courses, you take a PE class and how to teach PE. So yeah, it might not be the teacher's necessarily favorite thing to teach, but they do have some background in it, some more than others. So it's not like they're just going out there and having a free for all. Teachers are supposed to go through that course as well. So if that's a concern for anyone, just know that they have training in it.
Yeah, it's more a matter of what you don't think about as a parent or whatever is that in a normal school year, your kiddo's teacher is able to use that time. Okay, the kids are now in music, or they're now at
the library,
or they're now in the lunchroom. These are times when a teacher would otherwise be able to use the restroom, prepare for the next activity or whatever. So
answer an email.
I think that's an important thing for us to talk
about. Well, I think that's an important reminder as to why we're not going to 2:45 in the elementary school. So not everyone was totally aware of that, but yeah, our teachers are working very hard in that building right now with very little breaks.
I have a question. On that subject, segue, are a lot of kids using the after-school recess, and have you had feedback from parents on whether that extra 30 minutes is helpful in the to get us closer to that 2:45 time, which was a concern at the beginning for families, particularly those without childcare?
You know, I have not told the number, but it is a large number. I know that we are servicing over 40 kids for that after-school recess. Now take that, I think 45 kids or 45 or 50 are going to still Serendipity, the Children's Center, and Kinderstock. So those kids are being removed. The other kids are staying here. We also had a bus little glitch, but we solved that by taking our bus kids and putting them on after school recess or at there. But that was our first week this week, and that's been working because they were sitting on the bus here at the middle school, high school for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. So we put them over at the elementary school, and we have them doing after-school recess, and we just have the bus kind of sitting for right now.
As a parent, I appreciate it, forcing my child to run around outside for just a little bit longer.
Right. And she wants to come and in they and run.
Get on an iPad.
Yeah.
That's good.
And any feedback from families on if they feel like they're, I mean, that was a big concern with childcare and kids not being in school full time. So we're in green, and they're there. They have access to after school recess now at 2:15. We're only 30 minutes shy of a normal school day. But crickets or
no news is good news. Yes. But I mean, I have to say that Chef, you know, Jenna Durst coming and rewriting that letter, that was really important. Just those little kind gestures of, I know you guys are trying, I know. It just kind of builds them up and keeps them going a little bit further. So we appreciate that. Not a whole lot of feedback, but I think everybody's happy.
Yeah. Thank
you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Chris? We are approaching 8:45, so we'll keep that in mind. After Dormer.
I did not mean to talk forever, Dormer.
What's going on? This is fine.
Guide me. This is long. So guide me as we want to speed up and get things out. Mm-hmm. So the schedule, and thank you again for clarifying that maybe people weren't totally aware of what was going on as far as when there's plan times, you know, teachers working harder, different, longer. So the schedule's up on the board there. If we were to just generally look at it, the high school, we're starting at 8:15, which is 5 minutes earlier than last year. We are screening at 7:50, so we don't have a long line of students. And then they don't get to hang around the commons. So as they kind of trickle in, they go to class. So teachers are contact more. That's great for getting some help now that we've gone to green. We have, again, seen obviously a large increase in students getting help before school and after school. Now we're in green, which is making a big difference. And we're going to talk math pretty soon, but that's one of the biggest. So you can see the first period, again, we have four periods a day. And this is the same schedule Monday through Thursday. And then we still see the same four periods on Friday. So 5 days a week, you see the same four periods. It's not a rotating block. So first period, you can see, is 50 minutes. It's 50 minutes. That's a pretty traditional first period. That is a year-long class all the way down in the pinkish. You can see middle school is kind of down at the bottom. We're doing high school now. The read block in there, we're going to talk about that tonight. And then you can see after read block there, and read block is in their period two class, they go to a block class. And that, again, as you can see, is 85 minutes, and this class is over in a semester because they're seeing them for 85 minutes 4 days a week and then for an hour on Friday. So they're getting a lot of intense, but it is where it used to be every other day. Now it's right up against each other. And you can see geometry and algebra 2 we're going to talk about later, but there's some other classes in there like physical science, biology, some of those classes I think are still challenging in the block. We've actually heard some kind of positive things from language arts as far as seeing their kids every day, a lot of intense reading. It's just different subjects. You can see then they go to third period there, which is an hour-long class, 55. That is a year-long class, unless, of course, we're on the semester then. So that's a traditional length. You can see they go to lunch at 12 o'clock, and then they come back for another block class. So it's a 4x4, called kind of a modified, where there's two block and two regular. You'll notice there are no plan periods in the middle there. And again, the secondary schools only hired one emergency hire that we didn't have in the years past. The high school hired no emergency hire. So they just did it by having a lot of periods, by not putting those plan periods in there, so they have a lot of classes, so we could have small class size so the kids all fit in the room 6 feet apart. And a couple of them are tight. So what that means is at the end of the day, you can see they end at 2:10, and what that means is that teachers have time for a plan period there at the end of the day, and then they have time to help kids. Right? So the high school sees kids from 2:10 until about 3 o'clock, and then 3 to 3:45, and they're not kicking kids out the door. Again, we have great teachers that are sacrificing a lot, but there's time in there for them to see kids after school, and then they get their plan period finally at the very end of the day. So that's tough, and everybody's doing it at the same time. So see the difference in the blocks and the not blocks. You can see that. And then on the far right there, you can see what the block classes will become for semester two. See, that's just different things. Those are both the block classes. Again, first and third period are going to happen all year long in that way. general and the high school. Mara, if you can scroll down just a little bit, you can see the middle school. Theirs is somewhat traditional in the fact that they start with the first period, the 8:15. They don't open the doors till 8 o'clock, so we screen at 8 o'clock. We're looking at opening the doors using the auditorium a little bit for 7th and 8th grade. 6th graders screening are right in their classroom, so teachers are engaged with kids right at 8 o'clock, and we always have lines at the door. So they're getting in. Again, it's nice to get some extra help, but again, it cuts into teacher plan time. You can see they have the reblock traditional as well. We're going to talk about that. And then they have, and this is very traditional, they have some core subjects. They go to lunch. They have some core subjects. And then they have one exploratory at the end. They've traditionally had 7 periods a day, again, to reduce exposure, that type of stuff. You see there are no planned periods in the middle of their schedule as well. They do the opposite because middle school kids will kind of linger and such. That's a different, we ask them to go home, and then they ring in for teacher help. So the teachers go to their planned period, and then they do ring central office hours from 3 to 3:45. What else can I say about middle school schedule? Again, it's somewhat traditional, but they've lost that 7th period, which has caused a little bit of conflict. For instance, our band kid this year, it looks like, may not get X-Tech, which is too bad. That's where they explore technology in the shop. They do some woods and metals. So if they want that for 8th graders, they have to take that later. Our PE is on a rotation, so kids do not, 7th and 8th grade do not have PE every day, which is a bummer. Our teachers have worked pretty hard to come up with kind of a crazy, scientific, funky rotation. So the kids are getting PE throughout the year, but it's got kind of some, they can get things like digital and health, computer science that are really important. I think that's the overall gist of the schedule. Again, one of the big things I think people didn't realize that the planned period is at the end. That's why they end a little shorter, as well as one of the medical center vices. We're obviously reducing time with kids. So if we compact it in there, we get them there and then get them out for getting some extra help, it reduces that exposure time. I'm going to keep saying this, and we keep saying it, that this is, again, a schedule that was created to reduce contact among kids. It's reduced, it went from 7 down to 4 periods. It went from 7 to 6 in the middle school to reduce, again, just exposure and to reduce some of the stress of having multiple periods and trying to fit them all in a tight schedule. This is not our dream schedule for long term. And again, the board's very familiar that there's some inherent challenges, especially with those block classes. But again, even in the middle school, some challenges there. And what's going on? A lot of the challenges maybe more so fall on the middle school teachers. They're potted, and so those kids are from 6 through 8. They're all in that same group all day long, and it really restricts some of their movement. Like we said, if they're a band group, and we have a couple band kids that kind of fit in that group, and some of the class they're taking, and they've decided, well, we didn't want to be a band this year. They've had to take like a VHS course because we can't be in the art class, and they're exploratories, and that's nice. But at the same time, one of the things we really pride ourselves on: kids can take culinary. They can be in the band, they can take some digital lit, and so there's some challenges there. And then also our teachers are moving all the time. So they're picking up their stuff, they're moving in a new room, they're plugging in. John has been fantastic, but it's still a challenge to plug in remote systems, new projectors, new laptops to a different room, and they're doing it all day long or rotating through so the kids can stay in a pod. It's somewhat probably similar to an elementary room where they're using desks again, which I've never seen in a middle school since maybe when I was in 5th grade. You know, where their shoes are there and they're keeping their books in their little desk and everything. I mean, that just isn't something we've done. And again, the 6th grade have their 2 pods and they stay with it, and those teachers go back and forth across the hall and keep them together. So it's keeping kids safe. Knock on wood, we're real happy with how that's going. It's very successful in Green. It is a lot of work by teachers for lots of different reasons. Talked about teacher office hours. The Friday schedule again is shortened by a little bit. We're working hard on that. When they get done at 12 o'clock, I know some people are saying it seems really early on a Friday there. So the high school ends at 12:05, and then our professional development is starting around 2 o'clock. We're going to 2:15 this Friday, so they get some time. And what's happening there is we are having kids stay and get some extra work. We are looking to kind of add that a little bit more as we're getting into Green and getting our feet under us. We've been talking with teachers like this might be a time for pet band. We originally had band in the schedule, and it was up against like AP Calc and some really popular class that we just didn't get enough to have a band. So that's one of the limitations. And one of the things you'll hear from schedule feedback is that kids don't have the choices they used to. That's the result of going from 7 to 4. So this is the time on Fridays where maybe Lanhart can get together. The pet band, the kids can play music. You know, they'd obviously spread out and probably in the auditorium and stuff. But that's something we're missing that kids like to have back. And at the time, Mr. Owens is like, please bring them in the shop. You know, we already have kids going in the shop, and now we're going to enrich that. So there's some good times for kids there. That's also our teacher mentoring program. Since we have several new teachers, and we have the veteran teacher, Mrs. Evans, has been leading that, been meeting with teachers, and that's the time when that's happening. And then the middle school especially, they are telling kids like, hey, you're behind, but we'd really love to get some extra help here. You need to stay unless, you know, your parents say absolutely not. So, and we're getting, they're very successful. They're really excited about that time on Fridays when schools release at 12 o'clock and professional development starts at 2, 12 o'clock at 2 o'clock. Make sense, look at the schedule.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? And there's a bus stop,
Yeah, thank you. We were.
We do want to stay.
Yeah, kids stay and they have, well, they need to bus home, which we don't have a ton of kids. We do have some. They can stay and they can walk over to the elementary and catch the one for it. Heather's been helpful as Curtis and work with them. You know, we've asked for notification. That's really great for kids who need to stay and still need to bus.
Is that for both middle school and high school?
That could be for both middle and high school. Yeah, we've advertised it more in the middle school as we've kind of picked it up, and now we're trying to expand more into the high school. You know, it's a little hard to get kids to come after lunch in the high school, and that's part of the deal. They end at 12:05, and no one's had lunch yet, so they have to get lunch. And so now you've got, you know, just about 45 minutes, an hour or so to get in there and get some playing time. But, yeah, it's a good opportunity. We did kind of ask teachers, you know, what's going on as we kind of get into some of the challenges. And, again, we know there's some challenges in those block classes. One of the hearing from staff, and I've summarized this, and the superintendent helped me with this. Thank you. The virtual learning is really hard. Let me say, teaching in the yellow is very, very difficult. And in some ways, he almost said, you know, if you go to red versus green is a little bit easier. And what the yellow is where we have half the kids in front of you and the other half are remotely on the screen. Again, our teachers work so hard. I ran a couple staff meetings like that where we had teachers that were remotely. It is really challenging because you're talking to people, you're making sure they can hear. You're talking here. Well, now I'm displaying something that only this guy can see. Sorry, Jay can see. But these can't, you know, it is really challenging to enhance everybody. That would really make sure they're getting the same equitable education. So that was a big challenge. Teachers are very relieved to get into green. So they said, absolutely, we're getting less homework in during yellow. Our attendance was much lower. It's when kids are virtual at home, it is a little easier to kind of drift off and disengage. I mean, that's all kind of common sense, but it makes learning more difficult. Again, the block classes are a challenge because it's condensed. I mean, we realize on paper it's the same number of minutes, but it is condensed. It's intense learning that's going really fast. It's finishing early. Personally, one of my biggest struggles with that is some of our fishing kids, and we get them caught up, and they've been fine. But right, if anyone needs to do anything, I mean, you need to go for a week to go moose hunting, which is a really cool thing to do with their parents. It puts you behind quite a bit compared to what it used to, you know. And so the catch-up becomes more intense. And that's something we've been able to, again, with our teachers working hard and being very generous with their time to allow kids to stay on track, but it's a challenge. Kids are having to work hard too. Block has been challenging, especially kids that may have lower skill levels, meaning not just in the classroom, but organizationally. That's been something they've been worried about. You know, you just have to be on it. And several of your parents know the kids are working really hard, especially during the block classes, stay on top of it. So we're aware of that. Again, some electives have been lost. Teachers obviously may have to cut some units or even some of their kind of, you know, fun or, you know, ones where you could kind of expand learning at the end. Those have had to be reduced a little bit, obviously, for block classes. The ninth grader classes, which is, we have two of them, world history and physical science, they're really kind of foundational, where they really get to know the kids. They build some of those relationships and those core skills, and those are only a semester now. And so before they rotate, so that's not working as well. We're losing a little bit there. Here's a great quote in there that really said it. The barrier to student learning is not due to instruction. Instead, it is due to the fast-paced nature of the content and the ability of students to take in a year's worth of content in a semester. That was what a teacher put in the survey. That is spot on it. It is not our teacher. Our teachers are outstanding. And I would actually take offense if anyone said, boy, those teachers aren't doing it. They're doing more than they were doing. I've been in, and again, we're going to talk math probably a little bit. I've been in those math classes very recently. They're not even good. They're very good. It really is the block, and they're making it work. You're going to see some data here that you can see that kids are being as successful now as they have in years past when weren't on the block, and that's because our kids are working harder and our teachers are just on it. I mean, I'm thankful we don't have a brand new teacher doing some of these math classes on the block. You know, that would be a real challenge. But we don't. We've got great experienced teachers, and honestly, the instruction is inspiring. It's really good. It's really fast-paced, of course, but it's really good, and the kids are rising to the challenge. So
Some of the benefits are our benefits of the block. The 4 versus 7 classes obviously is a little bit easier for staff and students. That was intended not just for exposure, but also because of stress, recognizing everybody's pretty stressed in the current environment that we're all living in. Having classes every day is a positive. If you talk about relationships and seeing a kid, I mean, you're going to see them every single day. The old rotating block, you could see a kid Thursday and maybe not see him again until that next Monday. And heaven forbid we had a vacation or they were on a basketball trip, you wouldn't see him for quite a while. So it is nice to see kids every day. Several teachers actually said, no, there's no real barriers to my instruction. Again, that's different subject areas, having different issues and different challenges. It is obviously, like I said, easier to build relationships, seeing kids every day. Longer classes are ideal for labs and project-based learning. The previous science teacher, I taught a lot. Actually, my student teaching was in 90-minute blocks, four classes a day. Pretty nice when you got a lot of biology labs, you know. It's nice to get through, but again, it's not ideal for everybody. And then obviously, very clearly, smaller groups. Smaller number of kids equals more time with the student. You get a better teacher, the student radio. So learning is it can be a little stronger that way. Yeah. Okay, that is overall general schedule. So I'm happy to talk math. I've got some information on math if you'd like to, but anything on math information so far?
To see if we're going to go another half hour. Whether the board wants to, I feel like we probably should at least complete this and then we could, because it's an executive session, we could do that online tomorrow night on the Zoom. This, it would just be us. Those numbers. Is that
or the next two nights I have a lot of minutes of parent teacher conferences for what it's worth. Three secondary kids, 15 minutes ish plus the high schooler, it's like 15 per teacher times 4 teachers. I kind of want
okay.
I mean, we could do it at like.
Well, why don't we just see what happens? How long this takes,
sure.
And then go from there.
Okay, sounds good.
That's and just probably, might really get it done.
Okay. That sounds good.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Does anybody have any questions so far for Principal Dormer?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not
all right.
Not yet, right?
No.
Dive
on
in. Oh, wait. Cheryl, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Cheryl.
I do. I don't think there's any. I've had several people call.
Sure.
I've had emails about math.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's the. I think the teachers are great. I don't think
mm-hmm.
that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think that excellent students are failing, and that's not acceptable to me. And I want to know how to fix it.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
And obviously. We had two students write in and call in, and they are, I mean, I think one is, I don't know about.
They're both juniors.
Yeah, they're both juniors, and I think they are both, one's in the Honor Society, and they're concerned, and I would like to see us fix it.
I want to point out that they are in two different math classes with two different teachers as well.
Right, but it is geometry and algebra 2 that people are having issues,
yeah.
And it concerns me. I feel for all the parents that have their kids in school. I am so thankful that because I'd be probably freaking out myself. We have to do something because we all say it's about the kids, it's about the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is about the kids and they're not succeeding. So we have to come up with something. That's my.
No, thank you.
So,
ready for math? Cheryl, spot on there. The math classes have been the topic. I do want to be really fair to other teachers. It is the block class, especially. All of this is difficult. Obviously, of course, everything is new this year. Everything is a challenge, but again, the block classes for many subjects is difficult. We knew going into it, and our math teacher said block classes for math are going to be difficult. So we knew that, and we're seeing that. again, material's coming fast. Our teachers are doing a great job. Thank you again for sure. I just want to keep saying this. This is not based on poor instruction. It's quite the opposite. It is a challenging schedule. It is challenging times. And again, this all stems from this balance of trying to create a schedule that limits exposure, doesn't overwhelm kids with too many classes. But at the same time, so we've had to sacrifice the number of electives they can take, the time of that, but then also how can we support student learning, making sure they are able to learn this, that they don't come out of this with, they're not going to come out with holes, but not trying to give them the best experience, especially math, because it's challenging to get through. We've already said most teachers, my understanding in the unit, in the block, are looking at units maybe to cut off a little bit there to, you know, obviously they're going to hit their cores and they're going to get good education, but how do we get the best? And that's hard too for Petersburg because we do a great job. That's why we talked Blue Ribbon here a little while earlier.
Rick, I don't know if you have this data. Maybe you do. I'm just curious if you could even say it. What are we looking for in terms of those, maybe focusing for a minute on math, of those two classes of how many kids are AB students right now versus our ABC students and versus ones that maybe are, and I realize they're small classes, so
pretty small.
Maybe if it's converted to percentages would be helpful.
I do. We did a great check on Monday, and we run them every Monday. Ms. Grohl runs them, sitting right back there. We run them every other Monday in Midcoff Middle School. Just being on top of grades, we don't have the usual activities to kind of, you know, to run those for, but it's so important to keep it going. And we have some activities. And this shows all students with a DRF. So you can distinguish between ABCs versus DRF. And again, recognizing statistically, and Tom, I was talking with Tom Thompson, one of our great math teachers, he was like, the numbers look okay, the kids are doing okay. And again, he's saying that there's some challenges, but recognize these are small. There's 15 kids, 13 kids. And so if you get one kid that's failing or, you know, 19 are passing, it's not quite as statistically significant if you had 100 kids, you know, data sample size. So keep that in mind. But right now, so our block algebra 2 class, we have 0 students with a DRF. And again, I want to say this has improved since we've gone to green. We've only been in green 2 weeks and 2 days. So it was not that case earlier. It is very difficult in yellow. It is still very difficult. And again, I keep looking. I know two parents here have kids in that algebra 2 class. They've kids have been coming in and getting a lot of extra help since we've gone green, and Mr. Thompson's, again, is an excellent, experienced teacher. We have 0 kids with a D or an F in there. They're working really hard, and we're doing our best to maintain that. We have 0 kids in our AP Calc class. There are 7 kids that have a DRF, 0%, excuse me. Our pre-algebra students, though, which is on a regular, but again, that's a challenging subject. In challenging times, 12% of our kids have a DRF. In our block geometry, this is one of the ones that comes up a lot. That is 19%, or 16 kids in there. None of them are Fs, and they were Fs. It's been an improvement. I've met with Mr. Hayes again today, and they've been coming up, and kids are doing great to bring those grades up, but still, it's a challenge. We have an honors geometry class that's later on a regular schedule, 13 kids, no Ds or Fs. Algebra 1 students, 7% have a D or an F, and then our math standards kids, 25%. So we did look at a grade check earlier from last year at this time. We had 20% of the actual grade entries on a grade check were considered Ds or Fs. Kids were ineligible in math classes compared to 19% on this grade check.
Say that again.
So we did a grade check from last year, 2019, in October. I believe it was October 24th, 2019. We had 20% of the entries, kids getting a D or F in a math class, were 20%. The one Jamie just ran on Monday had 19% of kids in a math class. So they're working really hard. It's very taxing. It's very stressful. I don't want this to say that everything's golden. I'm not saying that. Our teachers are stressed, and they're probably not going to get as much content as they usually did. So it's not all roses, but again, what we're seeing here is kids are working really hard, and we're seeing the teachers are putting a lot of extra time in to get kids caught up. Again, and part of that is going to green. I worry if we go to yellow or even red, what? Yeah, the stress for everybody all the way across. It's different.
And we're talking, I don't know if you're going to talk about other grades, but we're talking Ds and Fs.
Yeah.
But if you have a student who's striving to maintain their honor roll status, and that took a lot of work in a normal year.
Yeah.
Or even a kid that math just comes naturally to them.
But we're looking at the same percentage.
And you're thinking
some, you have different students.
Yeah,
different students. Not everybody's in a math class this year, and they were then.
But a D or an F isn't a lot of family threshold for what's acceptable.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's not Petersburg. Yeah.
For many, the threshold is a C, and for some, it's
sure.
a B.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I apologize. I don't have like A, B, C type of data.
No, that's not necessary.
Yeah.
But just to know that we're not worse than last year, but at the same time, more work for those kids to maintain what grade that they're used to in that subject.
And you said that right. There could be a kid that's, you know, getting A-minus and B-pluses, and now it's barely getting a B because it's challenging. Could be the block. Part of it is challenging times. Yeah, lots of things. And going back to what Cheryl said earlier, how do we support more? You know, I've been talking again. I put down there. There's lots of kids in block scheduled. I'm talking with principals in Fairbanks. They're all on a block schedule. I know I said this already before. Sitka, I meet with that principal every other week at a minimum. Sometimes every week. Talking about what they're doing, and a lot of it is just this time for students. Everyone keeps saying on the survey, it's time. How do we get time in a period where we're trying to keep not have the kids at school very long? That's again keeps comes to this catch 22. So. We're supporting more. Green is helping a lot. How do we support even more than that? You know, our migrant funds are budgeted out. We're going to start doing some migrant tutoring there. We have some staff available that will help with RTI a little bit more in depth, which is interventions, response to interventions, which is a program that the elementary uses extensively in middle school a little bit and trickle that up. So we have some other ways to grab kids. And again, we're just running weekly grade checks and trying to catch them as soon as things are stressed, as soon as things they fall behind this threshold. But we are flexible is the word. And if the board looks here and says, we're hearing from a lot of parents, you're hearing from a lot of great kids, like we did tonight. How do we keep kids safe and limit the time at school and the exposure while also not trashing their transcripts because, you know, these classes are challenging a block?
Is there a way to utilize the reading block for some of that?
It could if it needed to be, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk a little bit. I'm just on a basis, the reading block, about 1 to 2 times a week we use it for other things like a positive behavior lesson, can do you, you know, we're not having assemblies now, we did class meetings or the read block, so, but there is time where they just read, and if there were times that kids could get math help, we would absolutely do that, no question about it. It's 20 minutes, but 20 minutes is more than they have before.
Well, sometimes all they need, you know, and re-explanation of, you know, the lesson or,
Go ahead, Cheryl.
Just to Cheryl, well, listening to Evelyn Anderson and reading her email, she is talking about how, you know, Thursday are, they cover one unit a week, Friday's their test, then they spend Monday and Tuesday fixing it and figuring it out, so then they lost those 2 days to learn about the next unit, which they have a test on Friday. I mean, how do you... The kids are, I've heard from, 5 parents is too much.
Who
hear about
said block
math class is way too much. How do we fix it? The kids are stressed out. I'm not sure if I'm really hearing what all we can do is like, oh, well, let's. I know there's everyone is wonderful and they can do this and that, but it's still stressful for them. And I don't want to see 5 parents, 5 kids fail or drop down, or I don't want to do this class and there's nothing for them to do, but they need 4 classes of 4 years of math. So I don't know, maybe I'm not making sense.
I'm
looking back at my own experience, but so I got a C in Algebra 2 and was not happy with that, and that was a year-long class, and so even with a mother that majored in mathematics, because I refused to accept her help, so I repeated Algebra 2 as a senior instead of going on to math analysis because I was afraid that I would not do well in math analysis, and I didn't want to affect my GPA. And my understanding is, not that this is a solution,
mm-hmm.
but could be an option for some, is that you could potentially, is it on the docket to take Algebra 2 or Geometry again?
No.
For the second semester?
But if you did, you would get your other class, at the other four, right. Or the other required class that you need to get for
right.
Year. You might have
and
science
the,
that you got to get that science.
Yeah, I mean, that was the risk I took, too. You know, it's so I didn't get, so my senior year, I didn't take an elective because I chose to take Algebra 2 again.
But this year, we're looking at, it's not an elective necessarily, it's another, I'll use my own kid as an example just
okay.
Because that's the one I know the best.
Sure.
But if, so we toyed, like, what do we do about math, right? So he could take math this semester, and if he crapped out, use my language, he could take it again next semester, except next semester in that slot, he needs to take science. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He has to take science. It's not an elective. Or if he waits until next year, now he's
back to square one.
He's back at square one after having not. So it's less fluid than in a normal. I did exactly what you did, Sarah. Like,
yeah, so you graduate for 3 years of math instead of four.
We're going to recommend you take this again. Right.
Yeah.
But we have, we're, my, I guess my concern is that we're not just talking about kids who are always struggling in math. Like, we have students like I was. I was always going to struggle in math no matter what. Right? Like, it doesn't matter what schedule you give me. This one is going to make it harder, but I'm going to struggle.
Yeah.
But we have kids who are on track for AP Calc that are also, like, they don't have time to not succeed this year, is my concern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I agree with you, Cheryl. I don't know the solution. And I just feel sick to hear from kids, to hear from families to say, something's got to give. We're 6-7 weeks in right now. How do we? I'm not a creative thinker. I never have been, unfortunately. I'm a critical thinker, but I'm not a creative thinker. I don't know the solution.
We did. I mean, I'm gone again, but back in the 80s, and of course we can't fill the positions that we have right now, even the paraprofessionals. But there was a tutor program, and kids could have left to be in the tutor program based on their grade or whether they were struggling, but it required them to give up their lunch hour. And so if they were serious about working on their grade, and we're dealing in a triage year of we are just trying to get us through the school year as best we can and be thankful that we can see our students face-to-face, because there are schools right now that say, hey, teenager, you're going to take your two core classes. You're going to be done in December. Goodbye. We don't want to see you again. You're not getting graduation. Nothing. So I feel like we're at least getting something this year. And although I'm frustrated, too, by the math situation, because I, too, have been contacted, I don't want to necessarily say, okay, Ms. Turner, Mr. Dormer, go figure it out. Let's help you figure it out, because it's, you know, two people coming up with an idea versus a board or a community coming up with an idea, because it really is affecting the community.
Juno has a program that they use for Saturday school, and I don't know how Paula, but Stuart used to attend Saturday school his freshman year, and they have tutors for every subject area. I don't know how it's paid or anything else, but
we will pay tutors on Saturday if that makes a difference.
Well, I will.
I can do for Algebra 2. I'll be in there on Saturday.
It wasn't all day. It was just, you know, a slot that was like
a different time too.
Well,
this is Charlie. I think that if we could, I know the teachers are doing as much as they can.
They are,
But if you could just slow it down somehow, even more than they think that they can, is to slow it down a little bit more. And I think that why not try it for a little bit, see what happens. I mean, they might not
That's
hear
a good
that,
point.
But slow it down, see how it goes, and see how much, if it helps.
Because to be honest, I think, this is Marianne, our students are probably further along than a lot of other students that are getting no face-to-face instruction.
Yeah, light years,
I mean, what is the usual, I don't know if you know this,
do my best.
The unit, how long is it a normal unit usually take?
It's just double that. So if they're getting through in a week, it used to be 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
They never managed it every other day. Yeah. But if you just say that 2 weeks versus a week, I mean, 2 weeks is like, yeah, we have time, got a weekend or so to kind of work through. A week's like a whole unit in a week, a whole new subject.
Could we take that reading block and maybe a little extra time because we're in a little earlier, make a fifth class next semester? So your math classes would be actually the full year. They could slow down knowing they've got next semester, even a shorter period. But next year they could, you know, pace themselves a little bit more. I don't know if we just need to give them another semester, maybe not full 85 minutes, but maybe just make short so they know they can slow down now because they got more time to make up for it.
Because aren't they learning the basic, real the basic more, and then as they, I didn't take algebra 2 or geometry. Like, I'm not a math person.
Everyone got their strength.
I may have taken algebra 2 twice.
For my past.
I'm the outlier in our family.
Because isn't it important? They're learning the real basics to where, like, in the next month, it'll carry them on to the harder stuff. So if we slow down now, would it help later on? But I like Jay's idea.
It is cumulative, and it does build on the topics as they go through.
But I really, if we can do something like Jay's idea, I would be, I know that's, you would have to finagle or do something, but I think that the minds, the math teachers, the minds, everyone, try to figure something out.
And what that does, obviously, is that stretches the day, that's more contact with kids, which is something we're trying to avoid, but maybe we're in a different place now. I do want to say, you know, when Jen and I made this, we talked to different teachers. Mr. Thompson, you know, we don't like, you know, the block for math, but the teachers, there were benefits, and again, we were a little different place back in, I mean, we're looking at this in August.
In August, we didn't know what to think.
And that's different because we usually have a committee that works for months. Well, a lot of teachers to all develop the schedule every year. Mr. Grawl's on that. We have a lot of different people that get their hands on it. It is not a place where, you know, Jenna and I put it in a computer and it kicks it out, and that's what our schedule is.
Well, and to be honest, we usually aren't in the weeds when it comes to schedules.
Right.
But because this is a unique year,
sure.
And I hope next year we're not in the weeds. I will say, this is a little plug. My brother, who loves math, and I think in a different life would be a math teacher, is going to offer free tutoring for high school math Sundays. Sorry, hold on.
What?
Sundays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays from 7 to 8:30 at Petersburg Properties. Masks will be required, but we have disposable ones there. He's going to open the door. Anyone who needs math help, you get an hour and a half of someone who's very good at teaching math and understands it very well. And I know I might be a little biased, but.
Great thinker.
His wife went from a C to an A.
Oh.
She was being tutored and it wasn't successful. And then he started tutoring her in high school and she went from a C to an A. So
good.
I think for those that are listening,
I
don't know. It'll be this Sunday.
And one of the issues I know we talk about, again, is time. And time for kids is a big deal. And, again, looking at many parents in the room here, high school kids are busy, you know, and I don't mean anything that they're not going to come. Matt's a brilliant guy and should go get help, and he's funny too. But, you know, just time. So if we said, hey, we'll do tutoring at 6 o'clock at night, you know, they're just saying, oh, we've got something going on. Well, that's volleyball practice.
Yeah.
Well, they have dance recital. You know, I mean, they're just so busy.
And that's
why we even ask kids, hey, We had a math tutor who doesn't work for some more, but she moved on to other things. She'll come in at 7:45, 7:30, you know, to get math help. And the kids are, of course, you know, that's early. We get it. You want to do it during lunch? That's their lunchtime. They get a break after being this, you know what I mean? They're just, time is the factor. So Jay's idea of kind of requiring it later on is very possible. But
and those Fridays, there's a little flexibility
Fridays.
On the Friday after the 12:45 if there was some way to coordinate even with those other options too. There's a good hour chunk in there that, you know, could be really organized or focused or, you know, I guess it's more intentional.
What Sarah said is correct though too. Again, we don't want this to happen, but any class that's a policy for us, if they do not like the grade, if they don't like the C, if they do retake a course, the better course, they get an A the next time they take it, that does replace on their transcript. So parents have already asked about that. So it replaces, they can get a higher grade that way. Yeah, that works too.
I'm just agreeing with you about. I love that we have Matt. I love the idea of Saturday school or any of those things. A lunch period tutor, all those
absolutely.
Are great. But we got to get kids to buy in to it. And we're hearing from some not that all kids aren't exceptional, but a kid that's going to step up and express their opinion is an exceptional person, because mm-hmm. that's hard to do even for adults. Those are going to be the kids that are motivated, and they're going to be more likely to show up, you know, at some hour that's in their personal time.
Sure.
But then there's all these other kids where you got a kid like, you know, mine lives out the road. He doesn't drive yet. But I can't get him physically here. It, you know, so back to what Jay was saying, and what you were saying about Friday and what Jay is suggesting about maybe we play with Reblock in that third period class. And it's a triage year, like Sarah said. Temporarily, maybe we need to look at that being structured differently so that the math is happening. It's not fixing what's going wrong in math. It's actually correcting math now.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I think that
it's proactive instead of retroactive.
Right,
oh,
and the tutor is doing the reactive.
Yeah, usually like, oh, I'm thinking.
Yeah, whereas changing the course of where we're going right now,
mm-hmm.
and saying, okay, we need a new plan for math or for all of those classes.
All those, yeah,
I mean, you'd have to, you can't just change one classroom schedule. But
so, do we go? Where do we go from here? Is it something that maybe a couple of board members could? It's another committee meeting, but is it a way of a planning committee to see what can be done differently? Immediate and then January. You know, what can we do right now in the next few weeks to help? And then what could potentially be changed in January as we move to the second half of the year in a block system?
What's happening now is we're in green, pre-board, let's stay in green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is assuming we stay in
green.
Yeah,
and kids are getting extra help, and we're seeing where it's, I graph what Jamie probably say from past grade reports, we're getting an increase now. It's
mm-hmm.
hard. I do want to say that we're continuing to have conversations about this idea of a kid who's out of math in January 22nd and won't have math again until the following year. We're working on calling them kind of enrichment. Again, no time in the schedule, but there's certainly some optional things using some software programs we already have. I've been talking with both Ryan and Tom about that to provide some, as well as students that may not be in math now that will take math January 24th when second semester starts. We don't have everything nailed down, but our goal is November 6th, which is the first Friday after the quarter break, to kind of roll something out so kids want some additional math exposure. We're still working on that, trying to get some ways. Does that make sense? Kids who are not in math now but are taking second semester, so they probably haven't had really intense math since March because of COVID. And then again, kids who will be done with math and may not have math again until next fall, hoping everything goes back. That's a long break, and so we're working on that a little bit. So January 24th is when the second semester starts. I think Superintendent and I talked about, do we get a work group together and just start saying what else is possible to plan for that? We can't do any changes to this quarter, and we're about to start the second quarter in a couple of weeks, but looking ahead, does that sound, I'm trying to kind of mirror what you're saying. Is that
some adjustments if possible, I think, I think Alice mentioned it earlier today in the conversation about really trying to get a good, clear picture from the kids.
Mm-hmm.
What like the
that.
Buy-in part of that too, you know, what are the, like, if we can hone, like, if we can't cancel everything ever, not that I don't think anybody's advocating throwing everything out, but I mean, you know, what, working within some confines,
mm-hmm.
what are the highest need issues, what are the biggest stressors, you know, and kind of working from that perspective too, you know, of course,
mm-hmm.
involving the teachers, and you know, but I think especially in high school, it's important that the kids I have a daughter in Algebra 2 as well.
Yep.
And I, you know, the beginning of the year, she struggles with confidence with math, but she feels very supported, but she's working very hard.
It's
what a lot of kids are doing,
mm-hmm.
right? And so,
mm-hmm.
You know, she's making progress. She's feeling good. She gets the kick out of Mr. Thompson. I mean, all of it, it's going well, but it's hard. It's her first, was her biggest stress. She's worried.
Yeah.
It has lessened. Partially green, partially getting things going,
yep.
you know, getting her feet under her in that sense too. So, I mean, I think there's some real opportunity to have some good conversations with kids too. So, you know, have opinions and thoughts, you know, too.
Yeah, we had work. We had a work session every Thursday night, and it was the math teacher that opened up, you know. And I know that's not necessarily possible for 2 hours every Thursday, so that because everything was due on Friday, the tests were always on Friday. So if you needed extra help getting your homework done or studying for the test, then there would always be 20 to 25 kids in that classroom.
Yeah.
And that went on for years, and he just did that as, you know, the goodness of his heart. But I know that's not necessarily possible, but maybe a hybrid of something like that for those kids. And it was a buy-in. It was no parent was forcing you to show up, but yeah. Kids were doing it because that was a time to get that extra help.
Yeah.
So I think some of it might be is providing those opportunities for that,
mm-hmm.
more than maybe what we already are,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. just to get us through this semester and then revisiting starting now what can be done in January when we switch,
mm-hmm.
to make it less of an impact for kids in the springtime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
And hopefully we're not on our whole schedule next year.
And thank you for again saying this. This is a triage time. This is not our dream schedule. In fact, we even spent a lot of time before all this coming up with a cool six period, you know, some really neat things. There was a big committee working on this is triage to keep kids healthy and safe, which is working, but boy, does it stress them out, which is not positive. So how do we marry that? And
mm-hmm.
and getting a lot of great minds around the table. So as Dr. Thomas, you say, the answer's in the room. You get a lot of great minds and the answer becomes a little more clear.
And also remembering that our kids are very resilient. And whoever said that earlier, I don't know, about just Jamie, I guess, about handling disappointment. There are disappointments that are happening now. There are also things that are really great that are happening now. So I think that's some of the stuff. I mean, I'm just talking now as a mom. That's some of the stuff I talk about home, too. You know, that there's some things that are happening that's like, is this the ideal? Probably not, you know. But are there tweaks we can make? Are there adjustments? Mm-hmm. Are there supports that we can put in place that people can depend on or kids can buy into or have a say in, like, no, this would work for me or this would help me or,
mm-hmm.
you know, or I'm feeling so overwhelmed. And I think that's something else, too. We have to consider how to address if there's 5 families, 5 kids, 10 kids, 20, you know,
mm-hmm.
how do we address that with real conversations and real planning with specific kids, too? You know, what do you need? You know, give us some really specific feedback.
Maybe we could meet some of the kids and figure out what we can do to help or some of their ideas.
Yeah.
Maybe we can have another meeting in 2 weeks or something like that just to pass through that and see if we can make something happen. Yeah, have a work session in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, see what ideas might work, what might not.
Yeah.
I don't think we want to wait another month.
No.
That's what my kids complained through. It was like, well, by the time we tell you guys, it's like the month later. Then you talk about it for 2 months. Then
Yeah, and this is to me more of it's not a policy, it's an AR. It's a discussion on how we, you know, and we are in the weeds for this year and hopefully we won't have to be next year.
And I think people are interested in talking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, teachers too, you know, because they want their kids to feel supported and
I hope that we want the teachers to feel supported. I mean, we can't go get to them, and I agree that we have great teachers. Nobody that has given me feedback has, they've all said, oh, you know, we like the teacher. The teacher's good. That's not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's the speed at which the teacher has to do the thing.
Right.
It's you know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thank you for saying that. I think they do. They have not said, oh, what was me? They're working their tails off. But I think they, anytime, you know, the kids are having a hard time finding success and they know they're teaching it, it's like, it must be me, you know, they say that. And I've said, no, I was saying teachers, again, we're in triage, this is a crazy year and this is a complicated time, this is a stressful schedule. So thank you for saying that, it's really important to recognize.
Yeah, I'm just worried about, you know, the elementary teachers also, they're working all day with people that are not independent. And then all of our teachers, we want for them to feel supported because this is got to feel very intense for them.
And just thanks again for it. Shut my mouth. Thanks again to the kids, you know, who are talking to parents, who are coming forward, who presented tonight. They hate wearing it. Most of them, then they pull and they're doing fantastic. You know,
mm-hmm.
we are trying to keep them healthy, but can you imagine being in high school? I hate wearing it and I'm old. You know, it's like you're high school and you're young and, you know, you're getting rid of acne and you're trying to.
Oh, and they take them off when they.
Boys and girls and stuff. Oh, and they do, and they take their break. But they're doing great.
Like,
they're working hard math. They're wearing the mask. We're doing everything we ask them in.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, I'll stop talking. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you, Mr. Dormer, for everything you're doing.
Yep.
Thank you. Flexible's the word. Please let us know. Thank you.
So we're, so some sort of work session or something?
In 2 weeks.
So
I wrote that down. We'll take a date.
Pass this out in our brains.
Yeah. And just for the record, Cheryl did have to leave. She had a personal obligation.
We'll thank her for the time.
Real quick, if we're doing a work session in a couple of weeks, is there a way we can get a survey out to students prior to that to see, I know they've been in it for a few weeks, but to see kind of what their thoughts are on this block schedule now and how it's working? And then maybe we can do another similar survey at the end of this semester or trimester and then see if their thoughts and feelings have changed at all as well.
It was very teacher of you, very pre-test and post-test, board member.
I just, I feel like one of the things I heard from quite a few community members as well, and I will say I really appreciate the discussion happening because almost what was more concerning to me was that community members were expressing to me that they didn't feel like their feelings about the block schedule were being validated this semester. And so I appreciate the discussion on it, but now we actually have to do something about it. And so the work session would be great, but we also need some information going in so that we're not just making more assumptions. And in that survey, I think we also need to include questions about communication. I think this survey needs to go out to students and to parents or guardians, because I think when you have a different schedule and then you pile on top of that some communication frustrations, I think it just amplifies everything else when you don't feel like you can go in and totally express how you're feeling. So I would encourage something along those lines to be included on a survey.
Communication for students to teachers? Am I saying okay?
I think for the communication part, I think students to teachers, I think students to administration, and I think teachers to administration.
Got it.
Or you know, vice versa, both ways.
Yeah.
And if maybe the survey can delineate what, if it's, is, are you taking math or are you taking, just because it's, you know, I know the focus tonight has been math, but there probably are similar struggles going on in the other black classes. Maybe not to the extreme, but it still would be informational note so that maybe if they feel comfortable saying what type of class they're taking,
right.
They don't have to say I'm taking Algebra 2 or Geometry, they just say I'm taking a math class or I'm taking a
science
class.
Yeah.
You know.
To be fair, somebody could be really just have a math brain and it's a different class that they're struggling in.
Right.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're not even struggling, but they're finding that the workload is hard, you know, too much or whatever it is.
Yep. Or we may find out they're doing, you know, you know, that it is uniquely to the subject.
Since we have read block right now, maybe they could take the survey during then. So
absolutely.
So that we don't rely on them to take it in their free time.
No.
And not take it.
That's one of the places.
Parents might have to do it on their
free
time.
Otherwise, I think, we won't hear from them. But
Or we don't hear from them when they're frustrated and upset.
Okay, so that can go out in the next week or so, because if we're going to have a work session in 2 weeks.
No, it'll be out soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're good at surveys.
We are.
Ms. KP.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and we'll figure out our evening better for work sessions, I presume. Okay.
Oh,
that's true. No,
if we have a couple kids there.
If it's some of the student representatives, that'd be great to have them there.
Yes.
Because that would be great.
Yeah.
I'd like to. So we'll bring them people. They can bring their own people.
I know what's the role of COVID and food, because I'm sitting here thinking, man, you know what this meeting needed? Was some snacks.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you. I'm clearly hungry.
I see some right there.
Oh, yeah, right there.
There's chocolate.
There's a few chocolates. Thank you,
Mark. All right. I think we're probably our next Additional comments from board members?
Did you want to do reblock?
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Reblock. I guess because we had talked about using it for things, I just assumed.
I think we can wrap that into our next work session.
Okay.
You want to do a work session?
Okay.
We have a nice little piece of history and a nice presentation Mrs. Lenhart made. So just
Sorry, Mrs. Lenhart. Sorry, we're tired. It's 9:40. We've been here for 6. And who I really feel sorry for is the administrators. Some of us did finally abandon us. okay, if everybody's feeling done with 14.8, then we will use it, we'll address it in 2 weeks in our work session. The read block. Everybody comfortable with that?
Yep.
Okay. 15 additional comments from board members. Seeing none. 16 upcoming dates and meeting announcements. You can always go on to the Petersburg Academic and Activities Calendar on our website at pcsb.us. Future agenda items, which I'm sure we'll probably have under old business, is maybe a follow-up to our work session in 2 weeks, just even if it's just informational on what we discussed and what was the trajectory or direction. Anything else people could think of? Anybody think of off the top of their head? Okay. Other new business, we're going to 18.1 executive session. I will make a move to recess to executive session for subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, provided that the person may request a public discussion, more specifically, Superintendent Cliff Payer's contract addendum. Could I have a second?
A second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Actually, when you move to executive session, you don't vote. Come out of it, and then you're allowed to vote if you need to. So. Okay, so we are officially at 9:42 in executive session.
And you have been listening to the Petersburg School Board meeting live here on KFSK, your community radio station. The school board has been meeting for 3 hours and 45 minutes. They have just gone into executive session, so we will leave the meeting at that. And we will be joining Thistle and Shamrock for the last 15 minutes of that show. And then at 10 o'clock, it'll be World Cafe. At midnight, the BBC World Service broadcast live from London.